if children are old enough to love. They're old enough to grieve. This is episode 1 in a series of podcasts on children and young people's grief, produced by Victoria Hospice. Thank you to our generous donors who have made this series possible. These episodes are meant to be tools and resources for parents and professionals who work with children and who may be seeking guidance when it comes to dealing with grief.
I've been with Victoria Hospice for a long time, working with both adults and children.
That's Allison Whiteman, child and youth counselor at Victoria Hospice.
The children piece is my passion. When I was doing my master's degree, my research was around bereaved children, which I found really interesting, and found myself really wanting to advocate for bereaved children because there was a real lack of research around that topic at the time. So I'm really excited to be sharing this information with all of you today.
In this episode, Allison speaks about different age groups and how they grieve. She'll break down the developmental stages and provide some suggested ways to support each age group. First, there are 3 general themes to remember for all ages.
No matter what the age the child is, it fits in. So first of all, it's an important point for parents to know that children re-grieve at each developmental stage. So if they experience a death at the age of 5, when they hit the age of 9, they're going to look at it again. And when they hit the age of 13, they're going to look at it again. And this is normal and healthy. There isn't anything wrong that's happening. The second point is that children's grief is sporadic, so it's different from adult grief. Their attention span can last only so long on anything, and it's true for their grief as well. So it will come and go, and that's perfectly normal and natural and healthy as well. And my last point is, one of the purposes of our grief is to help us to develop a relationship, change the relationship with the person who has died. So when they die, our grief doesn't mean that the relationship stops. It means that it has to change because the person isn't physically here to maintain it anymore. And so our grief helps us in the shifting and changing and adapting. And I'll talk more about what that looks like with each specific age group.
And the final age group, 16 plus.
So our last age group is 16 up to 19. But then, of course, you're into the adult, so you can apply your own personal experience to that. So with the 16 to 19 age group, one of the big developmental pieces for them is that they're able to understand the impact of the death in the present, but in the future as well. So this age group really gets that, you know what? My mom isn't going to be here when I graduate from high school. My mom isn't going to be here for my wedding day. My mom isn't going to be here to see my first child born. They really are able to go into the future and recognize kind of those ongoing future losses that will happen for them and the significance of those. Their grief is very much on the level of an adult, I would say, at this point, in terms of their cognitive understanding of it and understanding of death and also of the grief itself. It will still be sporadic, so it's different that way in adult, but in terms of just a lot of the expression and this understanding is totally adult-like. And again, they will ask the same kinds of questions that an adult asks about death on that abstract level of, or that spiritual level of, like, why does this happen? What is this about? It's so unfair. How come unfair things happen in the world? They are also now, they've made a shift where they can actually be understanding of other people's grief experiences in the family. So earlier on, kids just couldn't do that about their brain development. Well, now the brain has developed to the point that it allows them to do that. And so if they have a parent who is grieving, they'll be really sensitive to that as well. If they have younger siblings who are grieving, they'll be really sensitive to that too. They can see what's happening in that whole family context rather than just from their own particular point of view, like what happens with younger children. They also, like the 10 to 12 age group, will really turn to their peers for support. Again, that's a piece of that natural development of moving away from the family. They still have the same kind of juggling act about naturally moving away from the family, but because things feel so strange and out of control, wanting to be closer to the family too. So helping them to navigate that can be really complex for them, but an area where they can use support. This age group, because they're future looking, they will often have concerns about if it's a parent who has died leaving the remaining parent. So their peers are looking at maybe going traveling for 6 months or a year, or entering into university in another city. These teens will have some hesitation about that because they're really concerned about leaving that parent alone. And especially if they are an only child, then they are literally leaving that parent alone, and they have a lot of concerns about that and may be inclined to hold themselves back because of that. And so that's a place where really kind of encouraging family conversation can be helpful. Then what are ways to help support? One of the things that this age group finds comforting is to be able to wear the clothes of the person who has died. So for example, if it's a teenage girl and her mother has died and she actually fits into those clothes, she will often really like doing that. And I think it's a way of being able to feel her mom close to her again. And so that's actually very comforting to them. And it's not something that's strange or unusual. It really provides them with comfort. Another piece for 16 to 19 is, you know, really recognizing and talking about that struggle for independence and the wanting to be close. So actually having, naming it and having conversations around that can really help them. The same as talking about the guilt that they may be feeling about leaving somebody, naming it, giving it the words and the feelings, and being able to explore and share it together and help to problem solve with it. They also are needing support with their self-esteem. There's a lot of highs and lows that happen for teenagers. And if the person who died was one of those people, again, that really helped them with those highs and lows, then it's finding other ways to support them or finding other people that can help them with their highs and lows and their self-esteem. And as all of the age groups, they also benefit with continued connections with the person who has died. You know, they might, again, ask them, like I'm thinking about, say, a high school graduation and the parent isn't there anymore to be a part of it, but there is still a way to incorporate that parent. And so as a family, sitting down and talking about how would you like that to be? So it could be something very simple, like a locket with a picture of the mom or the dad in it that they wear to their ceremony. To something much, much bigger or grander. They'll have their own ideas. So it's just ask and welcome that this person can still be a part of this important day. It just has to look different.
This is one of six sections of this episode covering developmental stages in grief. Future episodes will look at resiliency, bereaved children's needs, and supports. Thank you to our generous donors for making this podcast possible. For more details on Victoria Hospice's bereavement services, visit our website, victoriahospice.org.